May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God and our Redeemer. Amen. Odd things in Scripture can capture my imagination, like the fact that there are several places in Scripture where we meet pairs of people. Pairs invite us to think about relationships, about what connects them, about what makes them communities of understanding either held or sought. Today, there are two of Jesus' disciples going on a walk. They are not part of the inner circle of the 12. They are another ring out from there, perhaps part of the 50 that are referred to elsewhere in Scripture, or perhaps yet another ring out from there. They are on their way to a small village that is called Emmaus. They are talking as they go about the recent events that have occurred around the death of Jesus. I wonder if as they are remembering, they remember another pair who we don't speak much about except on Good Friday. They too were mentioned in Luke's gospel, just as our pair today is, and they have no name for their remembrance, only description to criminals or thieves. One of them is quoting to be mocking, "Are you not the Messiah? Then save yourself and save us." He certainly names his immediate need, "Save us." But it's a highly ineffective way of speaking, a kind of sarcasm he's seeking. The other shows more respect when he turns to the one hanging near, his companion in the criminal charge, and says, "Do you not fear God, since we are all under the same condemnation? And we indeed have been justly condemned, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He certainly is in touch with what has brought them to this predicament. And yet he reaches beyond or toward a rather uncertain future. "Remember me." Sometimes, if not often in our lives, we have an eye to the future. We set goals, looking towards college, saving for the down payment of a home, planning a career, or a family, or a retirement. It's interesting to me that often when I'm doing premarital counseling, people talk about having children. Wonder of all wonders, right? And when we come to discuss finances and the goals that they might establish for their financial future, almost invariably someone will mention saving for a child's college education. So it's not only that they look at their future, but they look at the future of their future as they're going forward. And so the penitent thief reaches towards his rather ill-planned future in Luke's gospel. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what is remarkable is not his reach, but Jesus' answer. For Jesus replies, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And here is the good news. What had been hoped for in the future is presented in this gospel as a present possibility today that can be received, a promise made. Yes, they both will die this day, this Good Friday, so long past. Yet even if these words were spoken by Christ when they had years yet left to live, they would have meant the same, For they're not so much about a place ahead that we are going as a relationship entered into because of hope, because of the nascent nature, perhaps, here of faith. The hope, perhaps, was very thin. The faith, perhaps, was barely born. To be with me in paradise is not so much a present promise about the future as it is a present possibility to be embraced. To be with Jesus Christ whenever and wherever we are is to be in paradise, in the close company of God. It will be perfected beyond this life, but its beginning is in this life. Sure, it is limited by our mortal life and what we can perceive, and yet here in this life, Christ reaches to us and we reach toward him. And so as Jesus remains on the cross, and the thieves likewise, one reaches and is granted relationship, hope, and faith. In a simple sentence, he claims Jesus as his Lord and his Master. Whether he comprehended all that that meant is doubtful. But he is granted all that meaning today with me in paradise. As he died, he went further into that relationship that may have calmed his last hours. This is the gift that is granted to this thief in Luke's gospel. Now, it may seem at first to you like I'm weaving a kind of fantasy here, but here's what I mean. It's possible to be in a seemingly lost place and to be calm at your center, to hold on to hope. It is possible in this life to go through one hellish moment after another with strength and confidence of spirit that good will come in one form or another. It is possible to taste peace and joy even while struggling in our mind or our body or our circumstances. While we are part of the changes and chances of this life, paradise, a relationship with Christ at the center of God's intention, can rest with us and in us. That has been taught to me perhaps more often by the urban poor than any place else, by people whose lives apparently have little hope or possibility or future for a plan, and yet who time and again have shown me a faith that perceives that God is in their circumstances. And that is where they will place their hope. That is so often what distinguishes the urban poor of faith from those who do not know how to reach. God's care perceived is not based on circumstances. It's based on a well-placed hope. What else are Christ on the cross and a thief but hope held together? But I've steered away from the original pair. It is now later, on Easter Day, the day when Mary Magdalene and the other women have discovered the empty tomb. This pair of followers are walking along, lamenting perhaps. They are puzzling for sure. They reminisce. They gain a companion who seems terribly ill-informed, who asks, "What things have occurred?" And they reply. And their reply shows the limits of their own understanding of who Jesus is. They do realize that he is a prophet like unto Moses, mighty in deed and word. But they have no idea of the divine purpose here, that there is a deeper intent here, slowly now being revealed. Jesus has disappointed them. They had expected that he would deliver Israel from Roman domination. They had expected that the earthly kingdom of God would arrive with the redeeming of Israel. 3 days have passed, they say, and despite Jesus' statement that he would rise from the dead, nothing has happened. Oh, the women went to the grave and said something about him being alive, but Peter and John went and they saw nothing, just an empty tomb. The women's testimony has no credibility. And so they laid out their disappointments and their limits. And this is when things can now open. The unrecognized Jesus opens the scriptures, interprets the prophets. There is a warming of their heart, hope. Reimplanted, perhaps. And so they say, stay with us. Sup with us this night. He waits their invitation. And only then does Jesus seem to stay. And here Jesus breaks the bread. And the eyes of their hope and their faith they see. And then he is gone. The joy in them in this gospel pericope propels them back to Jerusalem, and there it is that they discover that he has also appeared. And then they went on to say, he stayed with us. They tell what happened on the road, how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. From that day to this, we bring our hopes, our frailties, our faltering perceptions, our kind and life-affirming plans to this altar, to open to his presence. What connects the thieves on the cross and the followers headed to Emmaus in Luke's gospel is their frailty, their broken dreams, and the part of three of them who will to hope. That reaches for faith, that finds faith in our lives where God can act. What further connects them to each other and to us is the will to act. So there is the will to hope and there is the will to act. One asks for a relationship, paradise is granted. Two share what they know of their lives and their journeys and their struggling hope. And to each a response is given. Relationship, the breaking of bread, relationship reclaimed as deeper. On this, the church has built her life. Here, we listen deeply, not just for God, but for each other's lives and hope and faith and dreams. Here we act in care for one another and for those beyond us. Our actions feed faith, grow community, heal broken places in life, remind ourselves and the world beyond that in our care lies God's care. Here, we break the bread again and again, and he comes. Sighted fleetingly, perhaps, in a sin forgiven, in an intention blessed, in a hurt touched, in a hope nourished. And then he and we are off to act as Christ's body in relationship. And so it is always our prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, and be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Amen.